and welcome to The Hearing. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 2016, Zonkey by Umphreys McGee. Umphreys McGee is an American jam band originally from South Bend, Indiana. The band experiments with many musical styles, including rock, metal, funk, jazz, blues, reggae, electronic, bluegrass, and folk. I think they cover them all on this album.
Oh, yeah.
According to keyboardist Joel Cummins, in reference to the name of the band, the origins are, he says, quote, "The origins are of an actual person. Brendan Bayless, our other singer and guitar player, has a cousin, and his name is actually Humphrey McGee." Humphrey with an H and M-A-G-E-E. But it's not possessive with the apostrophe S. So they got their name from a person. Zonkey is Umphreys McGee's 10th studio album. It consists of mashups, combining various covers crossing different musical genres. It was released on November 11th, 2016 on Nothing Too Fancy Music, produced by Umphreys McGee and Manny Sanchez, and features Brendan Bayless on guitar and vocals, Jake Sininger, apologies if I mispronounced that, on guitar, keyboards, and vocals, Joel Cummins on keyboards and vocals, Ryan Stastic on bass and vocals, Chris Myers on drums and vocals, Andy Farag on percussion, and guest musician Jennifer Hartswick guest vocals on track 5. Now, a reminder, of course, I don't edit any songs into our episodes, but for copyright reasons, but down in the description and on our blog at johnandscotto.com, you'll find links to Zonkey on Spotify and YouTube. Before we get to the tracks, just full disclosure, I am not a fan of mashups.
No?
Every once in a while I hear one that I think is clever, but I really don't care for them. So I'm kind of coming at this from a little bit of a hostile perspective. Just to put that out there right from the top. Track 1, National Loser Anthem. This is a combination of the National Anthem by Radiohead, Loser by Beck, and In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Right. The In the Air Tonight is this strange swerve that it takes at the end.
Yeah, kind of comes in out of nowhere. I hadn't heard the Radiohead song, so I had to listen to that beforehand. There's a handful of songs on this that they reference that I hadn't heard before. I do like the groove on that one, and I'm not typically a Radiohead fan.
It speaks to just how well they pair the songs together. The fact that the Radiohead keyboards fit in with the Loser melody together, mm-hmm. or for songs you normally would not think of, but then out of nowhere, the In the Air Tonight comes together. It comes in, which I mean, they kind of do a few times of this where you like just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They kick a song and you're like, wait, what?
I think the rap on Loser sounds great. They did a great job on that one. It works really well over the groove from the Radiohead song. And the two grooves work really well together in the chorus. Up until the chorus of Loser. I think it falls apart a bit there. The Loser riff, which is actually Midnight Rider by the Almonds.
Right.
Works well with the chaotic part of National Anthem, yeah. But then In the Air Tonight kind of comes out of nowhere.
And then you want to start chaos when they have the three of them together.
Yeah. It kind of feels like a last part of the song.
Yes.
The guitar sound is a bit better than Sturmer, I have to admit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these guys, we go back with these guys. Remember when we had the Tuesday afternoon show, we did musical guests.
Oh, right.
And these guys, I think they gave us like two of their songs back
That's
in the day.
That's why I know them. That's where I know them from. Okay. Because
yeah.
I knew I'd heard of them quite some time ago.
Sometimes they're actually called Prague, but I mean,
they're jam.
Yeah, they're jam.
I mean, the difference between the two. And I've realized, as I've gotten older, I mean, and I'm in the in my 40s, I'm kind of losing interest in both. Yeah, because I'm
really
a longtime prog head, and I've always kind of had a soft spot for jam. But as I'm getting older, I kind of want to just hear a song, not some guitar player or keyboard player wanking for 10 minutes.
I mean, I'm still very deep into prog and getting more and more into it, like finding other bands to that I, never really gave that much of a listen to in the past. Jam bands, there are very few that can keep my attention, and Umphrey's has always been one of them, because I think they just take a much more interesting approach to it. They kind of take a prog approach to the jam band, which I think makes it a bit more interesting than just kind of noodling.
Now, in back to this National Loser Anthem, the rap over In the Air Tonight is amazing.
Yes. You're just kind of like, wow, wait, what?
I don't know why that hasn't been sampled a million times.
Yeah, I don't think it. I'm trying to remember. There was a
I'm
rap
sure it
group
has
that.
been, but it's not like one of those really common samples.
I know Take Me Home's been sampled. Like they kind of gave him the sting treatment, after Puffy did that. They did try to do that with Take Someone tried to do that with Take Me Home, where he even sang on it with them.
But yeah, that just worked too well with the rap. And the two end choruses are interesting together.
Yeah,
Loser and In the Air.
that whole chaos at the end where it's like all three of them.
On to track two, Life During Exodus. This is a combination of Exodus by Bob Marley and the Wailers, Life During Wartime by Talking Heads, 25 or 6-4 by Chicago, and City of Tiny Lights by Frank Zappa.
I mean, I think they shouldn't have had two that did this together, because I mean, there's so much on this album where it is just two songs mashed up and that's it.
And the two song mashups work better, I think, generally.
Right. I think they should have separated these guys to, not have the same thing going on at the same time.
The only one I hadn't heard before was the Marley song.
Really?
Yeah, I hadn't heard Exodus.
Oh, wow.
My Bob Marley knowledge is a bit slim. I should probably do a deep dive.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a guy. I mean, he kind of, he mixed, but he definitely, that's a guy that just a straight up song, if you're into that sort of thing. Yeah.
I have to be in the right mood for reggae. But they did a nice Marley impression on the song.
It's weird how reggae's been treated, how I guess it's been co-opted by like a white frat culture
Well, it was
when.
co-opted before that by New Wave.
Yeah, but I guess that's different. I mean, they were really appreciating the music and the message too.
And they were developing it.
But the reggae, I mean, especially if you're listening to Marley, a lot of it is very strong protest
Oh yeah,
music.
it's all about the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's like country and blues. It's the music just serves the lyrics.
It is very similar to those genres where you're kind of locked into a certain format too, but I think he added so many, so much soul and R&B to it that
And the
yeah.
groove from Exodus is actually surprisingly close to the groove from Life During Wartime. Not the instrumentation, but the basic rhythm.
Right. I think I saw something where the singer was saying, I don't know if we should have like a white guy from the Midwest singing. Marley, he and but they go, yeah, but listen to this, and he starts like Life During Wartime. It's like, oh, see, I think I saw the what they had said the origin for this was they would do like a Halloween show, and they would just do like some of these for Halloween, kind of dressing up as another band, and they just took the ones they liked best from that. Somewhere out there, they said there's probably a recording of them doing Thriller and the Wall together, or Another Brick in the Wall.
And it is a nice transition into Life During Wartime because those grooves match up so nicely.
Yeah. I think that's the
And
one thing you can really take away from this album. The songs they took and put together, a lot of them are really just very similar songs.
I mean, I'm going to be pretty critical of this album because, again, not a mashup fan, but I can't fault the performances. The band is amazing. The song choices are really solid. Marley's lyrics with Talking Heads in the background was amazing.
Oh yeah.
There was a slight change to the life, and then they flip and they do, Talking Heads over top of Marley. They
Right.
did slightly change the lyrics. I have to call them out. You ought to know not to stand by the window. And the way they sing it is, someone might see you up there. Byrne sang, somebody see you up there.
Oh yeah.
I gotta call out that slight alteration to the lyric. The instrumental break was very Zappa. It's been a long time since I've heard Tiny Lights. I thought that was it. It's not. It was just M'Freeze doing their thing. Interesting lead into 25 or 6 to 4.
Right.
They just kind of use it for the guitar solo. They don't quote
Right.
the lyrics at all.
It is weird how they just kind of throw that in there. It's probably not my favorite left turn of
I
the
really like the song, so it was nice to just hear a reference to
Yeah.
it, but it was kind of a throwaway, and that leads perfectly into Zappa because if you know 25 or 6 to 4, the guitar, I can't think of his name, Terry something or other, the lead guitarist from Chicago at the time, really goes off in that solo.
He was a beast, yeah.
And Zappa, they transition very nicely from his style to Zappa's style.
Yeah.
His lead guitar style. And it just is a really nice transition into City of Tiny Lights. And they pull off Zappa.
Yeah,
I
well,
can't
there's
say
anybody
much more
that's
about
gonna
this band. They pull off Zappa.
if there's anybody that's gonna pull off Zappa, it's gonna be Humphreys.
But yeah, this one went on a journey. At first, it was my favorite, at least, at this point, Coming in, coming back to Lifetime and Exodus, the end was a nice touch, just put a nice capper on it.
Yeah.
On to track three, Can't Rock My Dream Face. I love some of these titles. This is a combination of Rock With You by Michael Jackson, Dreams by Fleetwood Mac, and Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd.
Never heard that one.
I skimmed I Can't Feel My Face beforehand, then I realized I've pretty much heard the entire song
Oh,
in bits
really?
and pieces. I knew the chorus. I it turns out I had pretty much heard the whole song in bits and pieces.
And you know what? I don't even know if I remember it actually in the song. And I've listened to this album a lot of
Oh,
times.
it's definitely there toward the end.
Oh yeah.
Because it starts with Michael Jackson and
Yeah.
it is spot on. The Rock With You sounds like a fucking sample. And then it goes right into Fleetwood Mac. It works too well, that
Is
transition.
so weird how those two go together.
That should not have worked. I had to listen to
No.
that transition like two or three times.
It's practically the same song.
And yet they sound so different. It's the combination of Jackson Mac, as I call it, just works entirely too well.
Yeah.
And Fleetwood Mac over the weekend worked really well too. Michael Jackson and Weekend didn't play well together. For some reason, I don't know why. Not as well. Well, Fleetwood Mac and The Weeknd toward the end didn't quite work. I just kind of wanted the Fleetwood Mac song. And I'm not a Fleetwood Mac fan, but I do like Dreams. They picked the one that I like.
I mean, yeah, this might actually be my pick for weakest on the album. I mean, the originals. I mean, it is uncanny how they occur together, but I don't know if it actually works as a
My
song.
pick for weakest is later. It's not so much how it works, so much as who they chose to do.
Yeah.
I think it should be obvious. But before then, on to track four, Sad Clint Eastwood.
It's hilarious.
It's a combination of Sad But True by Metallica and Clint Eastwood by Gorillaz.
I just picture Weird Al just like giving them a standing ovation
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I mean, this is Weird Al level shit, without a doubt.
This is the first time I didn't have to listen to a song ahead of time because I knew both of them.
Just that little Clint Eastwood keyboard in Sad But True,
Yeah.
it just makes me so happy to hear that.
Like, even the Metallica, they pull off great. The Hetfield impression was perfect.
Yes.
The guitar sounds aren't quite heavy enough. I suspect they were using single coils. The guitar players will get that.
So it took me a while to think, like, is this good or not, you know, that they're doing this? And then realizing that, yeah, it is just like parody and kind of, you know, impersonation.
And the two work so well together. The transition is
Yeah.
great. It's the best combination so far. It was, again, my favorite. I just wanted to hear the rap over Metallica, though.
Yeah, you're right. That definitely should have happened. There should have been some Clint Eastwood with the Sad But True guitars.
Yeah.
That is kind of disappointing that they did not do that.
And I thought, like, my only other real criticism is that the vocal on the Gorillaz cover was a little sloppy. as well as he pulled off Hetfield and Michael Jackson and everybody else, he didn't really try to pull off the guy from Gorillaz, and it can't be that hard.
Yeah, but I mean, that could be, it could be a racial thing too. You know,
no,
you
the, don't guy from, the guy from Gorillaz is a white English guy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, that part. All right.
Oh, no, not the rap. But you're talking about the rap. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay, I see. The Damon Albarn.
Yeah, the guy from Blur. I don't remember his name. That's the vocal I'm saying. It was a little sloppy. They didn't really try to sound like him.
Okay.
Yeah, all they didn't do the rap, which I was a little disappointed by, but maybe that was it.
Cheeks are unclenched now.
On to track 5, Electric Avenue to Hell.
This is my favorite.
Highway to Hell by AC/DC, Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant, and The Triple Wide by Humphreys McGee. I skimmed the Humphreys McGee song. It was this 11-minute wanky jam instrumental.
You know, I don't think I don't remember The Triple Wide. I don't think, you know, I didn't even know there was a third song in there, honestly, until I saw the notes.
It's an instrumental, so they just did this little instrumental thing at the end. It was one of their songs.
It's that little weird bridge part that they threw in. Okay, that makes sense.
That's one of theirs. The guitars on AC/DC sound great. Sounds just like Angus. The drums, not so much.
Yeah.
I guess hard to get. I mean, Phil Rudd is probably the simplest player in rock and roll, but easily the most nuanced. You know, you can't do Phil Rudd. The Grant vocal works incredibly well over AC/DC.
Yes, it does. And anybody covering fucking Eddie Grant is, I mean, I don't like Power Man 5000, but I will listen to their cover of Electric Avenue any day of the week.
It just works all too well, except the only thing they had to change the melody a little bit because of the chord changes in Highway to Hell. But that's, aside from that, it's perfect. AC/DC over Grant, not so much. This is the song they brought in, what's her name, Jennifer Hartswick for. It's a fun cover of Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite work over top of Electric Avenue, I thought.
I mean, it's kind of the wordplay, of course.
Yeah, right. Highway to Hell, Electric Avenue,
And I definitely my favorite track off the album, strongest for the album.
And then they go into this original and they wank for a bit too long. Fortunately, it came back to the Grant and AC/DC. The ending choruses are great.
As a bridge, which I like, oh, I didn't even know that was the third song. And that,
and they ended with AC/DC, which was great. On to track 6, Ace of Long Nights. This is my favorite.
They combined Motorhead and Ween.
I didn't know much about Ween except for their like initial singles like Daisies and shit.
I'm not familiar with this Ween song actually. So what album is
them
it from?
Do a punk song, Quebec. Ironically, the Canadian by Marriage is not familiar with the song, the album Quebec. They did a punk song.
I think I've listened to some parts of that. I don't think I've listened to the whole album though.
All I've heard is Daisies and whatever other single there was from their first album. That's my knowledge of Ween.
Familiar with Chocolate and Cheese and I'm trying to remember some of their other later albums.
But
the Mollusk is fucking brilliant.
Okay.
I would love for us to do that one.
I'll put it on the list. But I was very pleasantly surprised by this insane punk song from Ween. It's the first, I think it's the only song I listened to aside from what's on this album that I, you know, had to catch up on. The only supplemental listening that I didn't skim. I just had to listen to the whole thing. Granted, it's like 2 and change. These two songs just work great together. I actually called this as my favorite before I even listened to it because I heard the Ween song and I know Ace of Spades like the back of my hand. You know, I just knew how beautifully they would play together. And the Lemmy impression isn't bad.
Yeah.
And Ween were basically doing a Motorhead impression with that song.
Right. I don't really catch much of the Ween. It really comes off to me. It's just the cover of Ace of Spades more than anything.
No, there's a riff in there that's Ween. It's not Ace of Spades. And they do some verses from the Ween song. But the two play so well together, it's seamless.
Yeah, it is.
This is the only song on this that I might listen to after, you know, at this point moving forward. I just love the way they traded off the verses. It's just an amazing combination. On to track 7, Sweet Sunglasses. Combination of Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics and Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart and Electric Feel by MGMT. I started to listen to Electric Feel and then I realized I already kind of knew it.
Yeah, Electric. That was MGMT's big album.
Okay, I didn't know the name, but yeah, I've heard bits and pieces of stuff from here and there. Really nice separation on the keyboard riff from Sweet Dreams.
Right, I mean, the two are very similar.
Yeah, but the Sweet Dreams riff goes back and forth between years, and they pulled that off.
Yeah.
Which was nice. And the addition to guitar to it was great. Hearing guitar on the Sweet Dreams riff, because it's not like the emo Manson version. You know, they actually added some chordal guitar over the keyboard riff.
That was just silly.
Yeah. Nice transition to the Corey Hart song.
I mean, they are the same song.
They play really nicely together, and I like both of them.
Yeah.
And then they transitioned to MGMT, which was nice. It worked well. Have to admit, I started getting bored at this point. The playing is perfect, it's clever, but that's about it for me. This album is basically a parlor trick.
Yeah, this one, I mean...
Not just this song, but this album.
Oh, it's, you know...
It's, and I can't fault it on Freeze McGee, I get it. It was a fun little experiment for one album. They've done a lot of original music over 20 years. You know, so I'm not criticizing them for it. It's just, it kind of got boring to me at this point.
The point of the album is, you know... We're just having fun.
6 songs was enough for me. I got bored. I was expecting this one to use more MGMT. The choruses worked nicely with the Sweet Dreams bridge. And I love the ending a cappella with Sweet Dreams and Sunglasses. Using the opening lines of both. Now on to track 8, Strangletage. A combination of Sabotage by the Beastie Boys and Stranglehold by Ted Nugent.
Not really all that familiar with Nugent.
I can't be objective about this one. He's a fucking despised Nugent. and I don't know Stranglehold terribly well, but I refuse to listen to it. It is my weakest because of Nugent. I had to take a break for lunch before continuing on to this song. Beasties over Nugent works. A great MCA impression. You know, not a lot of people can pull off MCA.
Yeah.
Nugent over Beasties work too.
Yeah, it's weird. The Beasties and MGMT are like the two bands that they use twice in this album.
Yeah. Wish they had just covered Sabotage.
Yeah, me too, honestly. This one, I don't think this as a mashup really worked all that well, honestly.
It was okay. I saw that it was 5.5 minutes and with no third song. I was like, how the hell are they going to do this? And it just kind of kept going. I was tempted to skip it about halfway through.
The Nugent part doesn't really hold up.
No.
It's not a very memorable part of the song, honestly. They should have just covered Sabotage here.
Now on to track 9, Come As Your Kids. Had to say that very carefully.
I love this one.
This is a combination of Kids by MGMT, Come As You Are by Nirvana, and You Spin Me Round Like a Record by Dead or Alive. I have to admit, You Spin Me Round is a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yes. And it is funny how it works with the other two, which are just, all three of these songs are just so different, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I do like, and I hadn't heard Kids before, I had to listen to that beforehand, really like the keyboard solo in that one.
Tony Banks used it in the Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Fair point, I thought it sounded familiar.
But I love MGMT, and that album is great, I think. The album after that is not as critically acclaimed, but I mean, it's just a fucking insane, you know, prog trip, you know, that the kids just weren't ready for.
Nirvana over MGMT worked really well. Nice sudden change into the Nirvana riff, into the Come As You Are riff. And MGMT over Nirvana worked really well too. Those two songs played surprisingly well together. And then You Spin Me Round was just kind of crowbarred.
Well, yeah, it's just a very zany thing. It's just like, wait, what?
They just kind of crowbarred You Spin Me Round. I got bored. I paused the song to look up the chord changes to You Spin Me Round. By this point, I was just bored out of my skull, I have to admit. On to the second song that I didn't have to look anything up for. Frankie Zombie. Combination of Thunder Kiss 65 by White Zombie, Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and Have a Cigar by Pink Floyd. Actually, though, the third song, what was the, I didn't have to look anything. Oh, Stranglehold, I didn't look anything up. So this was the third song I didn't have to look anything up for or do
It
anything
is
pre-listening.
tough to determine which my third song swerve I like best. It the You Spin Me Round I fucking love because it's
Yeah.
just so out of left
It
field.
worked better than In the Air Tonight, which was similar.
But I think I'm gonna pick Have a Cigar
Yeah,
because it's just like, wait, what? I mean, that is really funny to put that with
Relax
Bob
works really
Zombie
well
and
with some heavy.
Relax.
Relax works really well with some heavy guitar.
Yeah.
Frankie, the lyrics to Relax over White Zombie were great. I was a little not bored for a minute. White Zombie over Frankie Goes to Hollywood is interesting. Hearing screaming over synth pop, and then Cigar comes out of nowhere, and I kind of dug that. Until that was mixed with Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah, I think Have a Cigar is my favorite third song swerve of the album. Because it is just so out of nowhere. I mean, yes, You Spin Me Round is out of left field. And again, it's a shame that they put them together like that. I think it should be something like the third t song swerve needed to be peppered in a little better in the playlist.
And Spin Me Round is another one where I just would like to hear them do that as a straight up cover.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Yeah, I need to look that up because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
On to track 11, Bulls on the Bus. Combination of Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine and Mark on the Bus by Beastie Boys. I had to listen to Mark on the Bus. I was very pleasantly surprised.
I don't get why they would pick Mark on the
It's
bus. It's
sung. It's
only Beastie
a
Boys
regular
song.
song. It's not a
Right.
rap.
It's this 1 minute throwaway song that, all right, get off the
And
bus.
I don't think it worked too well with Rage. Mark on the Bus is just too mellow to work with Rage.
Right.
If they hadn't covered Nugent, this would be my weakest.
This one is a head scratcher,
Yeah.
and yeah.
And finally, track 12, Bittersweet Hodge. Combination of Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve and Hajimashite by Humphreys McGee. Hajimashite is Japanese. It roughly translates to, it is the first time meeting you. Basically, cool, it means nice to meet you.
Oh.
Had to listen to Hajimashite. It's like a 5 minute, very almond sounding Humphrey song. It's better than the 11 minute wanky instrumental, but still gets a bit wanky at the end.
I think this comes off more of just like a cover of Bittersweet Symphony than a mashup.
I
The
don't
mashup
partic
concept didn't really particularly work here, I don't
and I
think.
don't really like either song. So it didn't really work. They did kind of played well together, except the insistent snare on a really mellow song like Hajimashite doesn't. It just gets annoying. And then they just get ridiculously wanky at the end. So, do you recommend it?
Definitely. It's a fun album. I think it's like one of those albums you put on if you're having a party or something to just have on. There's some really funny moments and just some great experimentation here.
I'm undecided on this one. It's mostly very clever and extremely well done. I can't fault the performances. Most of the song choices were really good. The playing and the arranging, great. And even when the arrangements didn't quite work, I think it was worth the arrangement, worth the experiment, worth the
Right.
attempt.
That's the thing. Yeah, not all these experiments work, but I mean, sometimes even the failure is interesting to listen to at least once.
If you like mashups, I think you'll probably love this album. It's just not for me. That's it for Zonkey. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Fox by Fox. This, I will say, worked great as a palate cleanser because Fox and Bill Withers are in similar veins, and I don't want to compare the two because the Bill Withers album was a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, that's still, like, in my head.
So this is a nice palate cleanser, just a complete left turn. Fox next week. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.